The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
There's glory in the legends of this hard muscle life. And there's poetry in each season made of sweat and strife.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
All I know is, you mess with me, you got problems.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app. Not live on YouTube today. I don't know what's going on. We had about a 20... How long do we have?
25 minutes.
25 minute run when we were on YouTube.
Yeah. Joey's in here now trying to sort it out.
Yes, he is. So apologies for everybody for going through that. Yeah, we'll see. Maybe we're back up now. I don't know. We're trying to figure it out. Shout out to Joey for coming in and trying to navigate that. Sometimes things go haywire. It's what happens, and we adjust. That's why you can always listen to us on the Odyssey app,
yes,
on a good old-fashioned AM radio, or 99.5
HD2.
That don't piss you off, dude.
No, it doesn't piss me off. We got multiple options. You can listen multiple ways. That's how we roll around here. A couple of lingering thoughts. We were talking Huskies on the road at Penn State. By the way, Tyson Alger coming up. Hey, I think we are back on YouTube now. Look at that. Maybe this is live. I don't know. It's all confusing to me.
We're back up live.
We're back up live. We're back, baby.
Thanks, Joey.
Thank you, Joey. We love you. So we're back on YouTube. If you want to go wander over there and watch the rest of the show and check out my sweet hoodie. I love you, Joey. I love you. I see your arm in there. Love you, buddy. We were talking Washington and Penn State. A couple of lingering thoughts on this. One of our Husky P1s texted this in. And it's an interesting take. I don't necessarily disagree with it. It said, as a UW fan, I'm honestly just kind of hoping that they just mail it in against Penn State tomorrow in order to avoid any injuries. Just focus on beating UCLA next Friday and get bowl eligible. We knew it was going to be a rough season, but the goal of this year was always sort of keep the lights on and build towards the future, at least getting to a bowl. Extra practice is a big step towards it. I don't blame you for that philosophy at all. And I took Penn State to cover in our big PP picks yesterday. I don't think Penn State's that good, man. Their vertical passing attack sucks. Talk about the pressure that's on that coaching staff. This is a game that you should be able to hang. Like, Penn State has not really blown anybody out all year.
No.
Other than the one time I, of course, gambled on them in the first week of the season when they went down to West Virginia as like a 9-point favorite and they covered that number. Of course. Thanks, James Franklin, you bastard. They play in tight, uncomfortable games. They did against Illinois at home. This is who they've been all year. They barely beat USC. So, like, this idea, you're not playing Ohio State this weekend. You're not playing Oregon in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
this,
but I look at what their defense was able to do against Ohio State.
I mean, you also have to take them with a grain of salt, though, that yes, they had the pick six. They also had a touchdown that turned into a touchback.
Yeah.
So they should have given up another touchdown in that game. They got a huge break when Will Howard fumbled that ball into the end zone. I don't know. I'm not terrified of facing Penn State if I'm a Husky fan. I'm not saying expect the team to win.
The
but
absolute urgency for Penn State to respond and rebound and not give the playoff committee a chance to.
You're not wrong with that. We've seen a lot of teams who have that tough loss and then have a hangover game.
I don't know where the urgency is for the Huskies.
I mean, I will use two examples out of that. So I think that's usually the logical thinking of you lost a close game. Now you're going to get, here comes the bounce back effort. Two games that stand out in my mind. One is Georgia the week after they lost to Alabama. I want to go pull it up. I believe who did they play? Was it Auburn or Mississippi? No, the Kentucky game was the week before. They played Auburn the week after that. Everybody's like, oh, God, they're going to blow them out.
That was a grinder.
They ended up winning the game 31-13, but that was a one-score game into the fourth quarter, and then they finally separated. The other one is we did this with Ohio State. Ohio State had a bye week the week after Oregon, and then they played Nebraska. And it's like, here comes Ohio State coming off a bye. They're going to be pissed. Nebraska had the ball with a chance to win that game. And so it doesn't always work out that way. But just curious to see how that plays out. They're also pissed at Penn State because this is their official whiteout game. They do like one of these a year, a night whiteout game. And it's this game.
Peacock.
And it's on the Peacock.
Yeah.
And there was a guy who covers Penn State that said the new TV contract has effectively diminished the wideout. Fox, CBS, NBC are responsible for this.
Don't lose to Ohio State.
I mean, that game should have been a night game, but, you know, I don't want big games early in the day, but we don't need to get into that
What's
right now.
What's the 4:30 NBC game?
The 4:30 NBC game.
Oh, it's Notre Dame.
Notre Dame,
so they
Florida
didn't
State.
Have it.
Notre Dame, Florida State's your 4:30 NBC game tomorrow.
Well. That you just have to be mad at Notre Dame for having their own separate deal.
You do, and that was one at the start of the year that's like, ooh, that's a juicy little matchup from back in the day, and now
not so much.
Not so much anymore. Let's look around the rest of the world of college football. Interesting games tomorrow. Quickly before we get to them, do you want to play Guess the Line? Have you seen the Ohio State-Purdue line?
Oh, no. Okay, how gross is it? 31?
Ooh. Well, if you think it's only 31, maybe there's some money on the angle to gamble. 38 is your line. Ohio State is a 38-point home favorite against Purdue. Not that anybody will be watching. That is your big noon game this weekend. Catch the fever. Miami's on the road at Georgia Tech. I will always circle Miami games every weekend because they have played far too many uncomfortable close games. They've been bailed out.
They have the potential to,
yes,
you know, when's going to be the crucial one they don't pull out of the fire.
They were in a dogfight with Duke last week, and I think that was one of the more misleading final scores of the weekend for anybody who watched that game. That was a back-and-forth tilt. Duke came within 1 point, I want to say, of taking the lead really in the fourth.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Miami, you know, Duke turned it over, Miami exploded, and you end up winning the game. And if you didn't watch it, you look at the final and say, oh, what was it, 50-30? Hey, how about that?
They did not control that game.
They did not control it at all. They had a 14-0 lead right out of the gate, and then trailed
Duke
in the first half.
Yep.
So they play uncomfortable games. Just circle that one. 9 o'clock tomorrow on Georgia Tech. Florida, Texas, to me, is fascinating. So the weather's supposed to be a little shaky in Austin tomorrow. Texas is a team that is still right there in the mix, controlling their own destiny. Florida has played much better football as the year has gone on.
And just found out Billy Napier's not going anywhere.
Billy Napier's not getting turfed. He will be back next year. DJ Lagway's their number one recruit, star quarterback of the future. He got hurt last week against Georgia. They thought, oh, that's not good. He might be done for the year. He's going to play, it sounds like, play this weekend. He's going to be back and ready to go. Didn't end up being as bad of an injury as they thought. And for anybody who watched that Georgia game last week, they had a puncher's chance at winning that game if he doesn't go down. So they're on the road to Texas. It's a big number. It would be a monumental upset for Florida. But the Gators have found a way to make some of these games competitive. They were in a dogfight on the road at Tennessee a couple of weeks ago. Ended up losing that game 23-17. And then last week, not a road game, but kind of, in Jacksonville, they're taking on Georgia. They had a chance to win that game. They had to play the second half entirely with a walk-on, a quarterback, and Georgia didn't pull away until way late in that game. So just circle it, file it away. Florida on the road at Texas. If Lagway plays, they can make games uncomfortable. Georgia-Ole Miss, to me, is the most interesting game of the weekend because Georgia has shown they have the ability defensively to find a second gear. What they did against Texas was remarkable on that side of the ball. Is this who their offense is going to be, or can they find another gear offensively? Carson Beck cannot stop throwing interceptions. He's thrown 8, I believe, in his last 3 games. Cannot stop turning the football over. I tend to believe that when you're at week 10, week 11 of the college football season, they've played 8 games already. If this is who you are, this is who you're going to be. And their defense might be good enough to gut out a win this weekend. Their defense might be good enough to carry them to an SEC title. And hell, their defense might be good enough to win them a national championship this year. But their defense is dragging their offense along for the ride right now. And Carson Beck is doing them no favors. And so, is this another turnover-riddled game where you're on the road in Oxford? Ole Miss is desperate for one of these wins. Ole Miss wins. They're right back in the mix of this playoff race, man. And the question on that side for the Rebels is, does the offense that showed up 2 weeks ago against Oklahoma show up, or does the offense that showed up last week on the road against Arkansas show up? They scored 26 points at home 2 weeks ago against Oklahoma. They scored 63 points last week on the road in Fayetteville. Which Ole Miss offense shows up, and how much does Georgia defense dictate that? It's one of those, like, I expect Georgia to win because of how good and how proven they are, and Ole Miss has been in a couple of tight ball games and lost. The LSU game sticks out in my mind, and they somehow inexplicably lost at home to Kentucky. I think this is the biggest game of the weekend. If Georgia loses, they're still in the playoff race. They can still win the SEC title. I'd have to go look at the standings and see how the rest of it would shake out. If Ole Miss though, does win this game, they go from 16 to what? What is Ole Miss ranked next week? Yeah. They would be 8-2, have this win under their belt. They're alive still in the SEC title race. They'd have the head-to-head tiebreaker over Georgia with two conference losses. You got Bama in there with a couple losses. LSU's got one loss. Like, there is a lot of chaos right now at the top of the SEC. Texas has one loss. And if Ole Miss wins this one, boy, oh boy, does it just kind of tip the apple cart over. And it'll be chaos the final couple weeks of the season.
No question. Because if LSU loses...
LSU only has one conference loss. Texas only has one, and Georgia. A&M, I forgot about A&M too.
Yeah, they all have one conference loss.
What are the tiebreaker? We haven't talked enough about that. What are the tiebreaker scenarios in that conference?
Yeah, we'll have to see after this weekend, see if you get some separation or not.
Because if Georgia wins, you're like, all right, Ole Miss is eliminated. Georgia's almost solidified.
And LSU wins.
Then it's a four-team race, essentially, with A&M, well, Tennessee, Georgia.
Depends on what Texas.
Yeah, I know. Good luck figuring that out. That's the whole point. The top of the SEC
is a lot
of chaos.
They need to play nine conference games. They do.
That would help solidify things, would it not? So Georgia Ole Miss to me is the most interesting game of the weekend. Indiana, Michigan, does it continue forever? Is it midnight? Is midnight not strike until Columbus? Indiana's been such a great story this year. There was a graphic floating around of the teams in the 12-team playoff right now, like that would be in the playoff. And somebody broke it down to where the players began their career in college. So it was your quarterback, your leading rusher, most targeted wide receiver, left tackle, sacks leader, and tackles leader. Where did they start their career in college? And you look through the 12, and it's like, all right, Oregon's got obviously Gabriel, UCF, and Tez Johnson at Troy. The rest of their guys are Oregon guys. Ohio State has Will Howard. Their left tackle came from San Diego State, but most of them are Ohio State guys. Georgia's got a leading rusher and a receiver from Florida and Missouri. Rest of the guys are Georgia guys. Penn State's all Penn State, which is kind of funny and maybe part of the problem. And then you get to Indiana. Their quarterback started his career at Ohio. Leading rusher started his career at Wake Forest. Most targeted receiver, I believe this graphic is Stephen F. Austin, but I don't know the logo. Their left tackle did start at Indiana, and then their sacks leader and their tackles leader both came from James Madison. It is a hodgepodge of talent from all over the world and all over college football, and they continue to roll. And is this the weekend it comes to an end? Michigan's got to play at the line of scrimmage in order to kind of throw a wrench in their plans. Very interested to see how that game goes tomorrow. And then I'll give you one of the more interesting games of the weekend that maybe won't get the attention or respect that it deserves. We went to LSU earlier for the Daily Ticker. And by the way, go Oklahoma this weekend. Can we get Missouri out of the top 25? They don't belong anywhere near it. I don't know why they're ranked. They shouldn't be ranked. One more loss and they will officially be out of the ridiculous rankings. Colorado on the road at Texas Tech at 1 o'clock on Fox. Big 12 is nothing but chaos. Colorado is still alive in the Big 12 title race. Texas Tech, a little bit of a different team at home than they are on the road this year. Been playing better football as of late. Deion Sanders is joking about the throwing of tortillas. If Colorado wins that game, now you'll have to look at what happens in the rest of the Big 12. They would be 5-1 in Big 12 play. You do have a head-to-head loss to Kansas State, but remember, one of their losses, Colorado's that is, was a non-conference game to Nebraska earlier this
year. Kansas State has two conference losses.
Kansas State's already got two, so that head-to-head doesn't matter. So it would be basically a three-team race if Colorado wins between BYU, Iowa State, and Colorado the rest of the way. There is a legitimate chance that Colorado could be in the Big 12 title game this weekend. The rest of their games after this, Utah at home, who sucks. Kansas on the road, they suck. And then Oklahoma State at home, and they also suck.
Yes.
So if they win this weekend, there's a legitimate chance you're staring at a 10-2 Colorado team with a chance to go to the Big 12 title. So it should be a great weekend of college football starting probably a couple of games tonight, but right out of the gate tomorrow. Let's get to Tyson Alger. He played hockey last night at 11 o'clock. I want to know what that was like. He had a great story about something that happened 15 years ago that we'll touch on with him, and then just his thoughts on the number one team in the country, who he has covered. Tyson Aldra, the I-5 corridor, is next. Don't forget to get your fake sponsors in for Sprague and the Line. 503-864-6326. We'll do some gambling coming up.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Bottom of the hour, back after this on The Fan. All right, well, Sprague and the Line coming up in 10 minutes. Get your fake sponsors in, 503-864-6326. Let's talk to Tyson Aldra of the I-5 Corridor. You can give him a follow on Twitter, at Tyson Aldra. He wrote a great piece yesterday I want to ask him about because it's something that I remember fondly. But we need to start. I texted Tyson. Tyson has become my third down tight end. He's my comfort blanket. I need a 5-yard gain. Tyson's my go-to guy. He's going to make a play for you. He's going to fall forward. You're going to keep the drive alive. That's who Tyson Aldra is in the media world, and I appreciate him for that. I texted you last night, Tyson, and said, hey, can you wake up early tomorrow morning? And you said, I got to play a hockey game at 10:45, so what's the latest I could go? This was the latest we could go, so I'm glad you woke up. You played a hockey game at 10:45 last night. Walk me behind what beer league hockey is like. What time do you get home? What's it like? Like, I can't even imagine being like me, even trying to stay awake now till 11, I would fall asleep. How does that all go?
Well, first of all, I'll be your third string tight end, third down tight end, whenever you want. I understand why you don't put me in the promos, but I'll show up for you when you need it. It's tough. Like I just turned 35 last week. I've been playing hockey in Portland since I've been here. You know, you over the years you get used to like the late games. You know, especially in your 20s, you're like, oh, this is fine. It's not a big deal, right. But. You know, you get a little bit older, and like when your phone changes into like sleep mode before you even leave for the rink, like when it's like, hey, like it's bedtime, like you need to be healthy, like you should probably go to sleep. It's tough because like you know that we play over at the Beaverton rink, and there's so few rinks in the city that ice time is just jam packed all around, and so. You can really only play late games. And so if you have a 10:45 one, games go about an hour and 20 minutes. So, you know, I've gotten some penalties after midnight. It's not a big deal. but then, you know, you get back to the locker room and like, we don't want to be shortchanged on our locker room group time. There's some nice beverages in there. There's some good conversation to be had, but yeah, it ends up being like a two-ish, like get home. And then, You know, when you're an elite athlete like me and you have so many great memories from the game to replay in your head over and over, like it takes another couple hours to fall asleep. But that's, you know, being probably the most famous and accomplished journalist in the city and being the best athlete as well, it's just the cross that I'm willing to bear. But well, good morning.
Well done. On 2 hours sleep after a 10:45 hockey game, he is awake. I have so many follow-ups. We'll have to do an extended piece on overnight hockey with Tyson Aldra at some point. You came out, though, with an article yesterday, Tyson. It was a fun walk down memory lane of the I Love My Ducks song and Sup With You Girl. And I was a junior at Oregon when that song came out. I'll never forget how big of a deal it was. And I went to high school with one of the guys. Shout out to Jamie Slade. And I just that like took the whole campus by storm. I had a buddy who was the duck in the video who like illegally stole the costume and then he got in a lot of hot water and then the university wanted to embrace it because it's not supposed to show up in these like unsanctioned videos and all that. But what was that? What kind of sparked that idea? 15 years ago, that song came out. What are the guys up to? It was a really fun kind of walk down memory lane.
Yeah, you know, I'm determined to milk like every little bit of nostalgia I can out of that Chip Kelly era. Like it's kind of been my wheelhouse for the last 5 or 6 years. And when I was at the Athletic, I did a big kind of retrospective on like the entire I Love My Ducks song. And that was when Chip Kelly was coming back into town with UCLA. So kind of did the oral history there talking to all the guys. But, you know, here 15 years later, I feel like, oh, I mean, it's crazy. It's 15 years later.
Yeah.
And the song is still very prevalent. I mean, if you're watching the TV broadcast, like Fox has been going to commercials with I Love My Ducks playing. And knowing these guys and knowing just kind of how I think a lot of people would assume that's like, you know, you had a video that goes that viral in college. You got to travel the world because of the money you made off of it. I imagine a lot of people assume that was probably the peak for those guys. But all three of them have had made pretty interesting and successful, and in the case of Michael Bishop, who I wrote about yesterday, compelling careers, like still around the Oregon orbit, like in the 15 years post since then. So I wrote about Michael Bishop, who, you know, since being a part of I Love My Ducks and Sup With You Girl, he has written for Nike. He has been the voice of At Nike. He has written the scripts for the Oregon's Ducks versus them and that team out west. He created the Hayward Hall at the new Hayward Field. It's really interesting how these guys, like when they were in college and it felt like a real cool, like part of them, like being a part of Oregon's story. Right. And now like here all these years later, they're still kind of helping craft that Oregon story.
Yeah. It makes it feel like a family. Definitely a great piece over at the I-5 corridor. Go check it out. Tyson Alger is our guest right now. Number one team in the country, Tyson, first time unanimous number one team in the country. Never happened before in program history. I mean, Maryland's in town this weekend, and let's game a lot for a lot of folks. You kind of like, all right, Maryland's in town. Let's get out of there healthy, and let's get on to Wisconsin the next week. What has impressed you the most about the last month or so of Oregon football? You're around them a lot. You're at every game. Like, what has been the most impressive thing watching this unfold and now Oregon being 9-0 and unanimously number one?
For me, it's been two things. The first thing is just like how quickly they dumped that narrative from like the first 2 weeks of the season, where we were all just kind of feeling like, they're winning these games, but it doesn't look great. I mean, beating Idaho by 10 points is crazy to think about in retrospect. You know, the Boise State one is kind of feeling like a little bit better now too, because the Broncos are pretty solid. But I think we were all, especially with all the hype that we talked about coming into this year, we all kind of took a moment there after the first 2 or 3 weeks ago, like, is this going to be the team? And there was obviously holes on the offensive line and penalties. And basically since that third week of the season, the offensive line has been one of the best in the country, and they've completely cut down on the penalties. So like the two instances of this team shooting itself in the foot, they've largely stopped doing that. So that was really impressive, because I think that's a testament to the coaching and the improving every week ability of this team. But the other thing has just been the depth that showed up. You don't beat an Ohio State without your best defensive lineman. Like that's not supposed to happen. And they didn't have Jordan Burch in that game, and it barely made a difference. You had guys like Mateo Uiagalelei step up. You had Tatum Tuioti step up. You have all these guys that, you know, you kind of read about in January and February and December when like the recruiting is hot, and it's kind of like, all right, I'm going to check these names and expect them to perform 2 or 3 years later. But right. Like they're getting dudes that perform right now. And you've seen that on the defense, but now we're also seeing that on offense too. Like they lose Tez Johnson, who was on pace to catch over 100 balls this year, which is insane. Because before last year, I don't think any Oregon receiver had caught more than like in the higher 70s. So like this is a guy who is an incredibly important piece of Oregon's offense. It's an Oregon offense that's incredibly efficient too, because a lot of times they use Tez Johnson as almost like a short running game replacement. And yes, they're going to lose him. Yes, that's probably going to hurt a little bit. But, like, did you see the other receivers on Saturday, man? Like, the I know it didn't count, but that thing Evan Stewart pulled in, or, you know, the fact that they can get Trayshawn Holden back, or Justice Lowe, who is a guy that I don't think a lot of people probably knew about, like, 3 weeks ago, has jumped up and become a very reliable part of that offense. So it's a really long football season, and when you're playing – at this level and expecting to contend with, you know, the Georgias and the Ohio States and the Alabamas and that ilk, you have to be deeper than just your first string. And I think that's often what has inhibited Oregon in some of its really good seasons in the past. It's like, yeah, they had some really, really good first stringers, but they just didn't have the depth on the roster to survive something or to like move on into like a second phase. And, you know, this Oregon roster is just so deep that they're able to kind of weather this. And I think that sets them really nicely up for the playoffs as well, too, because I'm sure you were looking at that bracket this week when it was released with the mm-hmm. playoff seedings. And that was the first time it smacked me in the face that, like, the playoffs is going to be a bear, man. Like, even if you get that first round bye, like, that's still three games you got to go win against really wow. quality teams. Like, I think there have been peaks and valleys to, like, this new football season, you know, with the 12-team playoff and, like, what you're supposed to get excited about and, like, the cadence. Like, you know, I don't think I'm in the minority here of not being, like, too excited for this Maryland game coming up. But I think the payoff is December is just going to be absolutely epic.
Yes, totally agree with you there. Last one, and then we'll let you go back to bed. Are you ready for your Grizz to get pounded tonight? They're at Matthew Knight Arena, 17.5 point spread. Do we need a beer bet on this game?
You know, the thing is it's not what you do in basketball in November, Andy. I think you know that. You know, Montana as a team, just like the Ducks, they strengthen later in the season. You know, that's the calling card of who's your coach again?
Is it Wayne Tinkle? Is Wayne Tinkle still there, or is he? No, I know he's gone.
I think they're building the statue though. I don't know, man. Like, I watched that first Oregon basketball game, and it's kind of a weird team at the start of the year, just because I think everyone in the summer was just hoping and putting all their eggs in Pauly Dante basket. Yeah, yeah. But on the other hand, like, that was such a different style with Nfale, and things slowed down so much. And so to see them kind of to get out of that and get back to running and playing physical and athletic style of basketball, I don't know. I think I like what Dana Altman has in his hand with this year's team.
Look at that. You come for the football takes, you stay for the basketball takes. The guy was up till 4 o'clock in the morning, drink a beer in a locker room in Beaverton, still wakes up in time to do the show. Go check out all of his great work and subscribe. Nobody better covering the local stories. i5corridor.com, at Tyson Alder on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Go back to bed, buddy. And thanks as always. We picked up the first down on that third down conversion, and we'll chat again soon.
All right, I'll be ready next week when it's third and long and you need to catch.
We need to catch. Great stuff. Tyson Alder, the I-5 corridor, covering Oregon. I agree with him. The depth has absolutely been the biggest story for Oregon. Justice Lowe is a guy a listener mentioned. What about him at wide receiver? Yeah, he's been awesome the last month. He's come on. Not a guy that a lot of people paid attention to at the start of the year. He's been great, and excited to watch him again tomorrow at home against Maryland. And the basketball team is playing tonight. We'll have a short primetime because the Grizz are in town to take on the Ducks. Let's break the line. Get your fake sponsors in. 503-864-6326. Who are we gambling on this weekend? How did we do last week? We'll do it all next. Spraggin' the line.
Spraggin' the line.
Spraggin' the line.
Spraggin' the line.
See what we got here today. Spraggin' the line. Hold on. I got to find my sponsor reads here. Spraggin' the line brought to you by Dirt and Sprague's anniversary. My theory is Dirt and Taylor heard a bad Sprague pick on day one, thought, damn, we got to lie to Brandon and say we tanked our show, bad takes, the P1s never have to hear those awful picks. It's part of it. Sprague and Line brought to you by Crock Pot Cooking. The only thing more disappointing than Sprague's picks is the way he cooks ground meats in the crock pot. Weird. Yeah, Russ came in here after that take last week and tried to defend him. Get out of here with that nonsense.
Now, I know sometimes you'll take like a pork loin with liquid and braise it and cook it down, but ground meat?
Ground meat? What are we doing here? Spraggin' the Line brought to you by Jamar Chase roasting the Ravens. He could probably teach Sprague a thing or two about how to properly cook something. That's close. Spraggin' the Line brought to you by raw ground beef in a crock pot. Parlay that with a Caucasian lack of seasoning and a little E. coli. You got some chili night at the Sprague compound. Sensing a theme here. Spraggin' the Line brought to you by Dirt not wanting to handle his meat. Now get your minds out of the gutter. I'm talking about hamburgers. Spraggin' the Line brought to you by New Portland Mayor Keith Wilson. His budget proposal is to simply fade every Sprague pick with government money. Portland should be the wealthiest city in the world in about 6 months. Hey, again, not a bad theory there. And let's get one more in here. Spraggin' the Line brought to you by Anniversaries. Just have Danforth call Sprague and tell him the show is getting canceled for old time's sake. Maybe we should after the show. Sorry, man, my bad. Looks like we're done. Here's how we did last week. Winning weekends all around. 2-1, 2-1, 2-1. Yep. Swag, you hit on the Rams -1 and the Commanders -4. Missed on the under in Iowa, Wisconsin.
Yeah, when did I?
I don't know. I don't know where that came from. Sprague in on the Thunder, minus 11 against the Blazers, and the Titans-Patriots under of 38. He was breaking things in his house, and I was looking at the score. I was like, isn't the number 38? You think one of these teams is going to score a touchdown in overtime? No way that's going to happen. And it hit. And then he missed on the Seahawks against the Rams. I hit on the Rams as well.
Yes.
Missed on the Bills, minus 6. Keon Coleman catches the ball at the 2-yard line. I think they cover that number. And then hit on the Lions, minus 2.5 against the Packers. So, season standing. Swaggy, we're still in first place. 16-14 is the number.
We're making money.
Sprague is in second at 14-16. It should be noted he is already 1-0 on the weekend. He took the Bengals plus 6 last night. And it was a little tense, but they ended up scoring that late touchdown. They covered. And so, but that will not be folded into his standings until next week. He is 14-16, and I am still bringing up the rear at 13-17. The floor is yours, Jason Swigard.
I have had more success in the NFL laying the big wood than anything else this season, so we will continue with that. The Titans can't score.
Today I'm laying the big wood.
The Chargers have figured out how to score, and the Chargers don't let other teams score. I will lay 7 points. But it might actually be a home game for the Chargers. I don't see Titans fans traveling.
I don't know about that.
They don't want to watch this team at home, let alone pay to go to L.A. to watch it.
Yeah, that one is I'm not going to spring the line on it because I don't want to have too many crossover picks, and Sprague's on that game as well. I got to find a way to make up some ground here. We're getting closer to that territory in the year, long season, but I will be laying a lot of money on the Chargers minus 7 this weekend. I'm just going to file that away. I'm going to start on Sunday Night Football and try and ride a hot team and fade a cold team and ride a team that has won me a lot of money this year. I think the Lions are a wagon. I think they're playing great football right now. They went into Green Bay, bad weather, but oh, I can't win outside. Jared Goff, he's got to wear gloves. Dude, they dominated Green Bay in that game. Green Bay found their way to at least score a garbage time touchdown. That was a dominant performance, a statement win for them. I think they're heading in one direction, and the Houston Texans are heading in another direction. They cannot protect their quarterback. The Lions just improved their pass rush. I love the way Detroit's playing. Only 3.5 is what I got to lay here. They're in a dome again, so I got to worry about the weather impact. All over the Lions on Sunday Night Football, minus 3.5.
I can't pass that one up.
You
that
too?
One I wrote down on Wednesday.
Okay.
So what am I missing that this is 3.5? I understand they're on the road.
I mean, the
but
theory
it's
is maybe
dome.
The Lions have a clunker at some point because they're steamrolling people right now. They're playing really good football.
Yeah, that's a theory at this point. They haven't done anything to demonstrate that that's possible.
No, Campbell's great against the number
Will Anderson Jr. Don't know about his availability.
Yep.
If they can't rush Goff, if he can sit back there and fire away, Nico Collins supposedly going to come back. But we'll wait and see.
Yeah, not 100%, and Diggs is out.
Yeah, are they going to stop the Lions running? No.
I don't see it, and I see that pass rush, especially now being improved a little bit at the deadline. Houston's got a problem on the offensive line, and they've had a problem on the offensive line all year. Not very balanced, and so, I'm with you on that. All right, pick number two for me. We'll see if we have a crossover again here. This is a game that I've eyeballed all week. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me, and I like rooting against teams and gambling whenever I get the chance to. I like rooting against the Jets whenever I get the chance to. They are on the road at Arizona. I don't get it. I don't understand it. The Cardinals are a home underdog in this game.
I don't get that one either.
Is it just a Jets thing? Is it a Rodgers thing? They're 3-6. Congratulations on winning one game against. We're doing that one win, and all of a sudden they're a road favorite against a team who's in first place in their division. Just for the simple fact of that makes no sense, I am on the Cardinals, by the way. This opened at like Jets minus 3. I think it got down to about even.
It was minus 1 the other day.
Minus 1 the other day. It's back to Cardinals are getting 2 at home. So that was the latest look on DraftKings. I'm all over Cardinals plus 2.
That one doesn't make any sense, but those two teams oftentimes don't make any sense, which is why I go, okay, Vegas knows. That's where I go, Vegas knows more than I do.
There's something here.
They do not know more than I do when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys.
Ooh.
They're a mess.
The Big Wood's still in here?
Yeah. The Eagles are starting to figure some things out, which is just give Saquon the ball and get the hell out of the way. Micah Parsons may be coming back, but they can't stop the run. Saquon's going to have a day. I will lay 7.5 on the road and go with the Eagles.
Okay, Eagles minus 7.5. My last pick of the week is not quite as big a wood. Your wood's a little bit bigger than mine.
The big wood's still in here?
But I'm going to go down to Tampa. This is another game that I've eyeballed all week. I have a theory and might end up falling flat on its face this weekend. We will find out. I have a theory that the 49ers are still one of the best teams in the NFC. They're just different after their bye. and they're getting their most important offensive piece back. No Brandon Ayuk is tough to deal with. They're coming off a bye, though. They're healthier. They have the rushing attack, their number one weapon back. I love the 49ers on the road in Tampa. Tampa had a heartbreaking close loss in overtime. Bad weather in Kansas City. Short week. Niners coming off a bye. Flying into Tampa. Feeling great. This has been, go look at the last 4 years under Kyle Shanahan, who they have been before their bye and who they have been after their bye. Now, maybe again, this is the year it comes to an end. But until I see it, I'm not going to believe it, and I will ride the Niners minus 6.5 on the road in Tampa this weekend. As I mentioned, Sprague hit on the Bengals last night, so he's already 1-0. He is also on the Steelers plus 3 against the Commies, likes the Steelers this weekend, and the Chargers. Now, I'm going to change it because as of yesterday, it was 7.5. But as of today, it's seven.
It's seven.
So I'll give him the seven because you're on that pick as well. He, too, is on the Chargers minus 7. So your picks this week, Swag, Chargers minus 7 against the Titans, Lions minus 3.5 Sunday Night Football in Houston, and the Eagles laying the 7.5 in Dallas. I am also on the Lions 3.5 on Sunday night. The Cardinals at home as a dog plus 2 against the Jets, and the 49ers minus 6.5 on the road. There you go. Sprague in the line every single Friday at 8:30. Let's get to wrapping up the show, man. What a weekend in sports we got. Excited for all the football. Final thoughts. We'll send you on your way. Close it up next on The Fam. There you go. Fist pumping your way into the weekend every single Friday. Speaking of Fridays, did you know right now if you text Hawks, H-A-W-K-S, to 503-864-6326, you will be entered for a chance to win a 4-pack of ticket vouchers to a Portland Winter Hawks game. Again, text Hawks to 503-864-6326, and you have a chance to win the 4-pack of ticket vouchers to go see a Portland Winter Hawks game. What a weekend in sports we got, and it all begins tonight. You do have a little bit of college football on your Friday. That tickles your fancy, if anybody's in on that. I'm a big fan of the Friday night games. Just gives me something to watch. Iowa, UCLA, do anything for you? Does that move your needle at all?
No.
No, okay. Iowa's favored by 6.5 on the road at UCLA. Cal at Wake Forest. Does that do anything for you?
No.
No, I'm not moving your needle on a Friday. Okay. Well, hey, we gave it a shot, you know, UCLA. I believe UCLA has, if I'm not mistaken, I think they have back-to-back Friday night games. I think they're in Seattle next Friday, if I'm not mistaken. So back-to-back Friday night games for UCLA, which is, you know, that's kind of where they should be. If we're being honest, nobody really wants to watch UCLA play. So whatever, just throw them on a Friday night. What's on our TV tonight? What are we watching? What's on the old sports talk? Have we got anything cooking?
You do have Blazers, Timberwolves.
You do?
They wrap up the road trip.
Portland in Minnesota, 6 o'clock start. They're a 12.5 point underdog. Feels like a game where I'm going to hammer the Timberwolves tonight, to be honest with you.
I would think so.
They jack up a lot of threes. I know that. I'm not a huge fan of Anthony Edwards taking like 14 threes a game.
Scoot and Shaden and Klingon just let him go. I mean, play most of the second half.
I would like that every night, but I
will be watching Ducks Grizzlies.
You got to get prepped. Is that the next Pilots game? Is the Ducks game, or they got one?
No, they have one Saturday against UC Santa Barbara.
Okay,
we scouted that film yesterday. We'll put stuff together, but no,
Ducks, that scouting report to bed, and then we
Ducks
move on.
And Pilots on Tuesday night late.
Ooh,
so
bring it on, Swigard. We're taking your ass down, man. Yeah, Oregon plays Montana tonight. That'll be right here on The Fan. Your club will be cut short.
Supreme Cook, the transfer from Georgetown, might be available for them.
I saw that. So you get some Friday night action. I believe UNC Kansas play tonight, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Is that tonight? Okay. Wanted to make sure I got that right. That'll be a fun little game.
Kraken take on the Vegas Golden Knights at 7 as well. They need some home cooking because the road trip was brutal.
It was a rough road trip. Biggest Monday headline is...
SEC up for grabs.
SEC up for grabs. Okay. Could go a lot of different ways. I'm going to go Eye of the Tiger. I think the live Tiger gets it done in Baton Rouge this weekend. And then you're going to have to deal with this. I'm going to find it. Hold on before we go here. Where's our guy?
So I could wish my boot right up your ass.
You're going to get a lot of that on Monday. A lot of that.
That's the ugliest little sister on the block.
Live Tiger in Baton Rouge. Can't wait. Gonna be a great weekend of football, everybody. Thanks for dealing with the technical difficulties with YouTube today. Everybody who followed along and kept watching a blank screen and commenting to each other. We love you all, man. We got it figured out. Hopefully you're able to listen to the entire show. If you missed any of it, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Turton Sprague. and at 1080 The Fan. Have a great weekend. Enjoy all the sports. We'll talk to you Monday at 6 a.m. Colin is next. Listening to 1080 The Fan.